"Why have your creatures attacked and slaughtered my people?" translated Azrafel. "We had expected better treatment," said Kin. "Why, you come from the place of thieves and liars with two renegade demons."
"They're not demons," she said sharply. "They're intelligent living creatures. They just happen to be of different races. Now, about that flying carpet.
They are demons."
Kin felt a gust of air from the far side of the room and was in time to see two figures coalesce. They were Kung. Not perhaps perfect copies, but they moved curiously as if whatever had created them had aimed for Kung's shape without a knowledge of Kung anatomy. Abu had summoned demons to deal with her, and somewhere there was something that observed that the Kung shape was good for a fighter. It had added disc touches. In battle, Kung usually carried no more than a short sword and a small blast deflector, leaving two arms for freelance throttling. These carried a weapon in each hand, and each one was different. One even twirled a morning star. It would be like being hit by colliding lawnmowers. Kin stared at the two expressionless faces, dead faces, and stopped herself from turning to run. She'd be running downstairs with those behind her. She raised the sword, hopefully. Something squirmed under her hand. Pain exploded up her arm and rattled her teeth. As the Kung things loped towards her, the sword crackled. Movement slowed. Through a pink glow, Kin saw the demons slow as if they'd run into jelly, but there was no sound at all. Hate settled on her dreamily, comfortably, and she watched the sword come up with interest. There was no shock when it drifted through an axe blade and went on to shear through an arm. The flesh was grey, boneless and bloodless, and another sword. She folded away from a snail's pace spear and started a long, slow leap that let her slice through a neck. She swung her feet round in time to land lightly, twist, and let the sword sweep like a scythe. Now there was a third enemy, backing away through the red mists. The sword jerked and Kin jumped, feeling her body curve behind the blade like the tail of a comet. It struck the figure in the chest, and Kin left it there. She drifted on and into the wall, colliding gently with a faint prickling sensation. Then she began a lazy tumble to the floor several miles away. It had no right to hit her so hard. She felt as though one side of her body was one long bruise. Her shoulder muscles were screaming. Her arm suggested that it had been dragged through a sieve. For a blissful few seconds, she was able to view the clamouring sensations objectively, looking into the kaleidoscope of her own head. Then subjectivity set in with a rush. There was a slithering noise behind her and a soft thud. With a certain amount of agony, she turned her head to see Abu sprawled against the wall with a long red smear above him. Kin lay cherishing the coolness of the floor. Then she used her left arm, which merely ached horribly, to walk it on its fingers to the magician's outflung hand. She uncurled his fingers from the lamp and dragged it back until it was in front of her eyes. It didn't look anything special. She buffed its surface with a finger.
"I am Azrafel, slave of the lamp," said the demon in a sing-song voice. "Your wish is my command."
"Fetch me a doctor," said Kin thickly. The demon disappeared. There was a tiny thunderclap. An agony later, he reappeared. In his arms, kicking faintly and whimpering, was a small white-faced man in a black robe.
"What's that?" said Kin.
"Johannes Angelego of the University of Toledo."
Kin picked up the lamp and hammered it on the tiles. Azrafel screamed. The small scholar echoed him, then fainted.
"I mean a physician, you horse," muttered Kin. "Take that man back and bring me a proper doctor. It's a box 8 foot long, demon, with lights and dials on it. A doctor. Understand? Hell, even a human doctor would do."
She hit the lamp again. Azrafel shrieked and disappeared. This time he took longer. When he reappeared, he carried a figure riding pickaback and was holding a large equipment box in his arms. Kin looked up hazily at the familiar green all-suit of an intern at the company medical centre. The man jumped down, landing with all the athletic grace of one with limited access to rejuvenation treatments. Kin recognised Jen Terramilt, his face wavering slightly as the pain closed in. Good old Jen. She'd nearly married him 140 years ago. He'd have reached a high position in the company's medical history if he hadn't died while hunting shark on Sister. His cool fingers reached out for her. Though the carpet could easily carry the three of them, Azrafel did not appear to weigh anything, Marco insisted on ordering the flying horse to follow them closely.
"Are we ready?" said Marco.